The Outdoorsman Show is brought to you by Ellis Outdoors LLC. Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. Time once again for The Outdoorsman Show. Here are your hosts, Alan and Robin Ellis.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Hour 2. This is Alan Ellis and the Outdoorsman Radio Show. A little update on Robin. She's doing much better. She's losing a lot of fluid this week, and that's a good thing. She's feeling better. She's walking without her walker, which is fantastic. So that's really good. So she's coming right along, and who knows how long it'll be until she gets back in the air, but it won't be long, I don't think. So anyway, 410. WCBM 680 is our phone number if you'd like to talk to our guest, Eric Zlokovich. Eric, good morning. Welcome to the Outdoors and Radio Show.
Good morning, Alan.
How you doing? Good, buddy. How about yourself?
I'm doing all right. Yeah.
Well, good. So we've got this. People don't understand how, you know, changes to regulations come about. You want to talk about that process just for a little bit? Let me explain my understanding of it, and maybe you can tell me whether I'm off base or not. First off, if you've got an issue, you want to make contact with the right people in DNR. So the best way to do that is go online and look for whatever you want to change. Look for the regulations that cover what you're involved in. In this case, it's perch fishing, J-hooks, circle hooks, and so forth. On the other side, there's an article in the Maryland Hunting Quarterly, this issue about using projectiles for fishing for invasive fish. Now, we have a fellow that uses a blowgun. Can't use it in Maryland. It's illegal. These blowguns have gotten to the point where it's a 12-inch dart, air-powered, the reel's attached to the blowgun with fishing line. The dart goes out the end, strikes the fish, and you reel the fish in just like you would on a bow fishing rig. But those aren't legal because they aren't bow fishing equipment. The other thing that isn't legal is a multi-pronged fish gig. Now, somewhere these fellows use these fish gigs that have bow fishing points on them, but there's 5 points on there. They're about 10 inches wide. They're stainless steel, and they wade or boat through the shallow water, and when they see an invasive fish, a blue catfish or a snakehead, they use this pitchfork to jab the fish, lift them into the boat, and then the gig has bow fishing points on it. So it's just like fishing with archery tackle, only it's hand propelled. Now, hand propelled spears are okay, fish gigs are okay, but they can't have more than 3 barbs on them.
Wow.
I don't know if you're familiar with all this or not, but
I'm not familiar with all of that, but yeah, I got you. There's a lot there. There's a lot of moving parts, right? A
lot of moving parts, but the letter of the law says 3 prongs on a gig, and it doesn't specifically say no blowguns, but it says whatever's in the Comar rule is what it is, and everything else is not legal. So read the article. You'll get it. I talked to the regulations people, but the process is get to the right person in DNR who can direct you to the person that can make that decision.
Yes.
And I think that's right. How this scoping regulation that we're going to talk about came about.
That's right. Right. And just generally for background, in the case of fisheries, and we can also, you can give people my email and I can direct people in the right direction. But we have a website called Changes in Fishing Regulations. You can Google it. Maryland DNR, Changes in Fishing Regulations. And then you go to that site and it lists you know, probably 20 or 30 different things that are being considered, different types of regulations for different species of fish. And the one that we're talking about today is just, it is just called Gear Hooks for Live Lining, and it discusses J-hooks and circle hooks, in particular for this issue we had with yellow perch this year.
When did you first hear about the controversy with the yellow perch?
I heard about it, I would say, within a few days of the first couple of people getting warnings. I was told that, you know, there were one or two officers that were doing it, and most people were getting warnings. And generally, what they were doing is they were interpreting the regulations sort of literally, broadly, which is that in the Chesapeake Bay and tributaries, you need to use a circle hook regardless of the bait or the species that you're fishing, or species of fish that you're targeting. Now, in the past, we had never enforced that regulation for yellow perch. There was a general understanding that this was intended mainly for striped bass.
Mm-hmm.
I think you and I talked about circle hooks back then when we first rolled out circle hooks.
We did.
We rolled out circle hooks back in 2019,
mm-hmm.
and it was mainly intended for striped bass and
right.
to try to reduce release mortality. Now,
and but that's not how the regulation was written.
Right. It was written more broadly.
Right.
So that technically those officers could interpret this regulation this way, and even if you're fishing a minnow for yellow perch in February or March, that could be interpreted as live lining. So
right.
all of a sudden, people started getting warnings, and you know there was a lot of concern. I spoke with you. I spoke with people from a couple of different tackle shops.
Oh yeah,
including Fishbones, which is in my area in Pasadena. And they're like, "What's going on?" You know, people were kind of
yep.
freaking out.
Clyde Sports Shop. I got this frantic email from Clyde Sports Shop. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and there was no directive to do this. There was no directive from up on high. It was just a couple of officers. Basically, that's the way they were interpreting it. You know, letter by letter, I guess, as you would say. And
New recruits?
Possibly. I don't know. I think they were relatively new. I don't want
right.
to get too much in the weeds and throw the officers under.
No.
Yeah. I think they were newer recruits. You know, very ambitious. Typically, the new guys are.
Oh yeah.
So and they're trying to kind of get their career going and
sure.
be very proactive. Yeah, that's typically how it goes. So. Anyway, that was the situation. It eventually quieted down after I think they kind of backed off a little bit, and then, you know, after the yellow perch run was over, we didn't hear as much about it.
Right.
But there's still an issue. It could flare up again, right?
So no question.
We're just trying to develop some new rules that would allow a window of opportunity for yellow perch anglers to fish with J-hooks
right.
During that spring run or winter and spring run, like
right.
basically February through maybe early April, you
yeah.
know.
Why not January?
Well, January too. Yeah, January. If we have another mild winter, there'll be people fishing in January.
Yep.
And many times if you have a mild winter and a warm spring, you know, the yellow perch run is pretty much over by late March or even mid March.
That's right. Well, I know that some of the guys that do that deep water perch fishing up there in the Susquehanna, you know, the 70, 80 feet of water, and catch those deep perch, that starts in January. They're out there rocking and rolling. So
that's right. And even I think a few guys maybe are doing that in December, I've heard.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely January. And that's, by the way, Alan, the new state record rock bass which was a tie with the old record, was caught in January by a guy perch fishing in one of those deep holes.
In the
Susquehanna. Yeah, 1 pound, 1.0 pounds, one pound rock bass in the lower Susquehanna. Caught by a perch fisher.
Yeah. Yep. Any idea how long it was, Eric, if you remember?
I checked it in. I met the angler at Angler's down in Annapolis.
Yep.
And Alan, I don't recall. We were so focused on getting the weight.
Maybe
13, 14 inches, maybe?
That's a big rock bass, man.
And it had a real deep body. It was a big rock bass.
Yeah. Yeah, I caught one at Deep Creek. I think I caught every species in Deep Creek at that day except a walleye and northern pike.
Wow.
I caught my biggest rock bass, which was 10.5 inches. My biggest black crappie, which was 14.5 inches, and my biggest pickerel, which I think was 26 inches, all sitting in the same spot. Yep.
Wow.
Yep. Right off that little weed bed, right off the Route 219 bridge, right off the bank.
So. On artificials or
no, live minnows. Everything was live minnows.
Live minnows. Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
One of the best fishing trips my dad and I ever had. We went for walleye, and never saw one. But we stopped there and emptied the minnow bucket. So
wow.
Yeah, it was great.
Good memory.
Thank you.
That's one place in Maryland where you can really catch some trophy-sized northern pike.
Yes,
and,
correct.
I did it one time. It's a pretty cool fishery. And
it is. Did you go out with Matt?
Yeah, Matt. With Matt Sell, I went.
Yeah. Yeah, that's
cool. He showed me both casting and trolling. When the fish are a little bit picky, slow trolling along the weed beds is kind of the way to get them. Yeah.
Yep. Yeah, so, when he first started that, I fished with him and Tom O'Connell, and we caught three fish that were tagged. And one of mine, it was early in the study. I think mine was number 14, 15, 16, something like that. And I know that one of them got caught later that year. I think it was 14. I can't remember whatever it was. But, you know, very beneficial study. He instituted that northern pike study there on Deep Creek Lake just to see what it was all about. But his big thing was catching them over 40 inches, which is a giant northern pike anywhere you go. But people don't know that they're in Deep Creek. They just don't know.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. I've never caught one that big.
Neither have I.
That size. Yeah.
Nope,
but they're there. Yeah.
So
I want to talk about the three options that we're looking
at. Yeah, let's talk about the three options. Let's see where we are time-wise. Let's see. Let's take a break, Eric, and we'll come back and talk about the three options, okay?
Yeah, and I'll try to really summarize it.
Oh, you're fine. You got the hour if you want it. It's all yours.
Okay.
So. All right. Let's see. We want to talk about Clyde Sports Shop, 2307 Hammonds Ferry Road. And for 35 years, I've been saying Lansdowne, but now it's Halethorpe, so we'll just say Halethorpe. Anything you need for fishing, all the rods and reels and tackle and live bait and frozen bait, they've got ice. They've got anything you need for crabbing as well. They've got crab traps. They've got trot lines. They've got hand lines. They've got the nets. They've got the seasoning. They've got the steamers. They've got the gloves and all the little stuff you carry, the measures and the tongs and that type of thing if you want to use the tongs when you steam them so you don't get pinched. They've got those as well, everything at Clyde Sports Shop. Fishing, rods, reels, line, every type of lure for every type of fishing. Firearms, they're your full-line Browning dealer, and we might talk about Browning a little later in the hour. But general, all-around, independent, mom and pop, if you want to call it that, sports shop, and that's Clyde's. And the website's been updated, so we're putting it back in the ads. It's Clyde's, CLYDESSPORTSHOP. Clyde's Sport Shop, all one word, all lowercase, two S's in the middle, .com, and you'll be glad you did. So why not stop by? They're open 7 days a week. They, of course, honor all major credit cards. Phone number there, 410-242-6108. 248-242-6108 for fishing, crabbing, firearms, licenses, ammunition, and scope mounting. You can depend on Clyde's Sport Shop. You'll be glad you did. Now, Backyard Billies, my goodness. It is the season for crab feast, getting out in the yard. I know it's hot. It gets a little cooler in the evening and the afternoon and the morning. The afternoons are just brutal, but you know what? Cooler days are ahead. Labor Day is coming. It's going to start cooling off a little bit. It's perfect time for you to go out to Backyard Billy's and see what they have for your backyard as far as any kind of picnic table. Weatherproof, poly outdoor and patio furniture, tables and chairs, Adirondack chairs, a new grill for the deck, pellet grill by Traeger, ceramic smoker grills by Kamado Joe and Big Green Egg. And in the Backyard Billy's backyard, you've got the pergolas and the gazebos and the sheds and the greenhouses and the dog kennels and the chicken coops. And don't forget, 1,000 Adirondack chairs in every color and style imaginable. They're our most comfortable chair. You can sit on your deck and just, you know, watch your kids play in the backyard. Use one of those Adirondack chairs while you're waiting for your hot dogs and wieners to cook on your new Big Green Egg. You got all that ready to go. Everything's there, all the accessories, all the equipment, and much, much more. You got to see the place to believe it. BackyardBillies.com is the website. They're located just off Route 50 at Exit 44B, Evans Avenue. It's Drummer, whatever the Drummer Street, Drummer Lane, Drummer Way, Drummer something. That's Backyard Billy's. You can see everything from 50. Don't worry about it. Route 50, exit 44B, Evans Avenue, exit Graysonville. Your backyard is going to look just great, and we'll be right back.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. Madonna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, MadonnaSeafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truck Liners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bed Liners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bed liners on the market. And MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, crabber, angler, contractor, farmer, waterman, or weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle boxes, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. And Maryland Spray Linings is just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver. That number is 410-455-0800. 455-0800. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment today to get your MilSpec liner installed.
Nothing is more frustrating than a dead battery. When your truck won't start or your boat or ATV leaves you stranded far from home, that's not good. The solution is Battery Warehouse. Not only does Battery Warehouse provide batteries for your car or truck, you can find marine batteries for cranking or trolling, ATV batteries, tractor batteries, motorcycle batteries, and batteries for all outdoors equipment. Did you know Battery Warehouse has batteries for wild game feeders, dog collars, cell phones, predator calls, and trail cameras? How about your video camera? Or if you tow your boat or trailer, your trailer brake control battery? Any battery you need. Battery Warehouse, convenient to you. Bel Air, Frederick, Glen Burnie, Dundalk, Hagerstown, Westminster, Eldersburg, Parkville. Visit BatteryWarehouseMaryland.com online for the phone numbers and more information. When you need a hot flash, get to the Battery Warehouse near you.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
I'd love to spit some beach nut in that dude's eyes and shoot him with my old 45, cause a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Cause you can't stomp us out and you can't make us run, cause when them old boys raise on shotgun, we say grace and we say man, and you ain't into that, we don't give a damn. We're from North California and South Alabama and little towns all around this land. We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Hank Jr. Let's talk to Lee in Towson. Wants to join the conversation with Z-Man from DNR, Eric Slokovich. Good morning, Lee. How are you?
Good morning, Alan. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning.
That's Lee, Eric.
Okay, Lee. Hey.
Lee, the overly avid fisherman. But, yeah, as my wife says. But my question was, first of all, is this rig with circle hooks? That's not for freshwater, correct? That's only tidal water.
That's right. This is mainly for tidal waters, and what we're doing at this time is we're just scoping out three different options as a possible adjustment to what our circle hook regulations are. And yeah, it is. This is tidal waters that we're talking about.
Okay.
And, you know, like the first option actually just defines nine common minnow species, and including the classic bull minnows and killifish, shiners, silversides, anchovies, and silvery minnows. It just says, if you're fishing with one of these nine minnows, you're allowed to use a J hook, you know, and this would be to help out with the perch fishing in January through March or maybe early April. So it would be, that's option one. There's nine actual minnows defined, and it's tidal waters. And then there's two other options. Option two allows you to use a pretty small bait, you know, under 3 to 4 inches with a J hook. So it's based on size, but when targeting striped bass, rockfish, you still would have to use a circle hook. And option three is more of a time of year thing, where you could use J hooks from February 1 through March 31st. Now that may not help everybody with perch fishing. And that time window, March 31st, is because it's trying to protect striped bass starting on April 1st. So it's, in summary, it's one option defines nine different bait minnows that you can use with the J-hook. The second option is kind of going by size of the bait. And the third option is a time of year window. And it's all posted online. And it's tidal waters. Yeah.
Another quick question. If you're using a shad dart or, like I say, a jig, they obviously have a J hook. Can you attach a minnow to that and still be legal, or is that a no-no?
Well, see, that's a really good question, and that's one of the questions that I was getting during the perch run. So technically, if you're fishing that way, which is common, and you have a live minnow wiggling around on a jig head, that could be considered live lining by an officer, and people did get warnings for that, for using a live minnow on a jig head or a shad dart. So technically, that you could possibly get a warning for that. And these three options that we're looking at are designed to allow you to do that and not get a warning or a ticket. So yeah, technically right now, if you interpret the law just letter by letter, yeah, that would be a no-no, unfortunately. Right. I did tell people if they fish a dead minnow, that would be okay because it's not live lining at that point, but with a live minnow, technically that is considered live lining.
Yeah, what I say is the whole thing is you guys have gotten I hate to say it's gotten a little bit overly fishing politics. It's way overkill. I've been fishing a shad dart in a minute. I caught my my state record chain pickerel on a shad dart and a minnow, and fortunately it was in freshwater. But, you know, the technical readings of the literature that we get every year with the department and online, it's gotten way out of hand. It's ridiculous is what it is, in my opinion. The circle hooks, in my opinion, don't work. I'm a commercial fisherman, and my what I'm seeing, I'm seeing dead fish. I don't want to get off topic, but the circle hooks don't necessarily work with.
Well, Lee, hold on a minute, Lee. Let me jump in here real quick. You're seeing dead fish, all right, but you're seeing dead fish that are oversized.
Well, I'm seeing dead fish because they got circle hooks in their gullet because I've been cutting them open, and the circle hooks are buried down in their stomach, Alan.
Okay.
The cut bait, eels, and or a spot.
Fair enough.
I'll leave it. That's a whole other subject.
That can be fixed by, in my opinion, changing the size of your circle hook. If you're using a little tiny circle hook, the fish is going to swallow the bait. I don't care how good a circle hook is. If you use a circle hook to the appropriate size for the fish, you know, 7-aught, whatever, I mean, the fish has a big, giant mouth. There's no need to use a number one circle hook to catch rockfish. I don't understand that, okay, unless you want to put the tiniest little piece of chum on or whatever. But the other reason you're finding dead fish is because we had so much hot water so quickly, number one. And number two, we had a run of fish in here of the silver striped bass that come in from the ocean that were over the 24 inches. And guys were out there catching their one fish, but they were discarding oversized fish, right or wrong.
Yeah, I saw it. But,
right. I mean, that was one of our conversations from before, that the fish were bigger than the 24-inch limit. But we're getting a little off topic.
Right. So, but, I can say that the enforcement in the Hartford, Cecil County, they're gung-ho. They're out there with their binoculars watching everybody. I got a target on my back up there. And, you know, they, unfortunately, the early part of the season, these young new cadets are gung-ho to write tickets.
So, well, so, we covered that. So, yeah, well, Lee, listen, thanks for weighing in. Let Eric go on with some of these options and tell people how to get involved, okay?
Okay, you all take care. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. All right.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. So you want to go over those options again?
Yeah, sure. And Lee brought up some good points, and you did too. There are, you know, fish that still get gut hooked with circle hooks, but a lot of times, as you said, the hooks are too small, and they should just go up a little bit larger for rockfish on hook size. But again, this is all under changes to regulations, gear, hooks for live lining. Option one defines nine different types of minnows where you can fish with J-hooks during the spring. Again, this is designed to help out the yellow perch guys.
Right.
It's mummy chugs, killifish, shiners, silver sides, anchovy, and silvery minnows. You can use all of those baits with the J-hook.
That's
again,
six.
Yeah, I was kind of summarizing. I'll list them all for you. It's mummy chugs, striped killifish, banded killifish, spot-tail shiner, golden shiner, rough silver sides, silver sides, anchovy, and silvery minnow. That's nine.
That's nine right there.
Yeah, the most important ones are your mummy chugs and killifish,
right,
which could all be considered bull minnows.
Bull minnows. Bull minnows. Right.
Right. Right. Right.
Let me ask you. Let me ask you a question, though. Here's something you might want to think about. Okay. We have these freshwater trout minnows that are sold at the bait shops. That guys go. You know, they don't necessarily use the bull minnows. Some of these guys use these little minnows that you buy. You know, trout minnows or whatever you want to call them. Built for freshwater, they use those for perch too. So you guys might want to look at that and put that somewhere in there, because those are all tidal minnows that you're using. You're talking about, aren't they?
Yeah, the ones that were relisted are all tidal. Yeah,
yeah,
and we're interested in getting comments like that on bait types, Alan. That's one of the reasons we're putting this out for scoping, and I'm writing that down right now. Look at trout minnows too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Those minnows have been sold for eons. You know, the bait suppliers out of Pennsylvania and Ohio and down south are the ones that bring up these little, I don't know what they call them. I've always called them trout minnows, you know, or small minnows or whatever, but they're not bull minnows. They are freshwater minnow. And you go to the bait shop, you say, you got any small minnows? And they go, well, we got some bull minnows, but we can't dictate what size you get. And then we've got these little trout minnows. And, you know, guys are buying the trout minnows because they're smaller offering for perch.
Well, that, you know what? That actually brings us, that's a good bridge to bring us into option two.
Okay.
So can I, yeah, so option
Yeah, go ahead.
Two, yeah, right. That, so option two allows you to use any bait that is under a certain size.
Right.
So we're looking at maybe somewhere but possibly 3 or 4 inches in length.
Okay.
So any minnow, including one of those freshwater or Pennsylvania minnows that you're talking about, could be used with the J-hook. However, you know, you would still have to use circle hooks for striped bass, for rockfish, for using baits like spot or white perch.
Right.
But again, if you're under... This is option two now. If you're under 3 or 4 inches in length, you can use a J-hook. You could use a J-hook. So that's option two. It's a size thing. Either 3 or 4 inches. You know, the downside of that is, you know, you'd have to actually, the fish would have to be measured or, you know, that sort of thing. But, It's a size guideline. It's if you're under 3 or 4 inches, you can use a J hook.
You're not gonna find a trout minnow that's over 4 inches, 3 or 4 inches.
Right. So. I think so. I think that's right. I you wouldn't see them over 4 inches in size. So this option two is based on size and not the species of the minnow.
Right.
And then option three. Option three is a time of year restriction,
right?
So again, it could help out the yellow perch guys, but not completely, because it would be allowing anglers to use a J hook or a circle hook if you want to, but you could use a J hook while live lining from February 1st through March 31st. So that would cover a good portion of the yellow perch run, but not all of it.
Right.
And the cutoff at March 31st, you know, that coincides with the closure of the striped bass catch and release season.
Right.
The free season. So starting on April 1st, everybody would have to use circle hooks, and some guys might still be yellow perch fishing at that time.
I got it.
So it's a time window. And also, something I haven't brought up yet, if you're doing that time window, that would not help the guys that are using minnows for snakehead.
Right.
So the options 1 and 2 would help guys that are fishing for snakehead. They could use minnows with J-hooks and not get a warning. That's another issue that's come up. Is if you're
now wait okay so
live, yeah
I'm going to go get the biggest bull minnows I can find for snakeheads. So what option is best for me?
So for that option, that probably would be option 1 if you're getting the biggest minnows possible, and it might be over 3 to 4 inches.
Right.
You probably would prefer option 1, which allows, and specifically, you know, mummy chugs and striped and banded killifish.
Right, right.
To be used, even if they're larger. I'll tell you, we show this in the options. It doesn't cover black salties. Those dark colored.
Yeah, they're a very popular bait.
Yeah, and it doesn't.
So in effect, would that outlaw those baits, or would you just have to use a circle hook for them?
So for a black salty, as this is written now, and we're just scoping this out,
right,
you have to use a circle hook for any non-listed minnow species. So, yeah, you'd have to use a circle hook for black salties. The way this is written now. But we're taking comments on this, and we may,
right.
There's a lot of avid snakehead anglers out there, and you know, we could definitely could use, we could, we're, you know, open to taking comments on that.
Well, yeah, that's part of the public process. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, right. So,
part of the reason you're on today is because we don't have much time left to get those public comments in. So we want to get this message out to as many people as possible. So the deadline for comment is, I believe, August. Midnight, the 13th. That's a Tuesday, isn't it?
That's right. 11:59 on August 13th.
Okay.
11:59 p.m. on August 13th. That's.
Okay.
So there is some time.
I'm going to make this offer again. I've taken a portion of your email with the links, and I will make that document available to people in the form of an email if they want to email me, ellis@ellisoutdoors.com. And then I've also put those links on the Outdoors and Radio Show Facebook page. I can also put those on the on Big Ass Fish too. So we'll figure it out. So we'll change it from perch fishermen to snakehead fishermen and let them look at it and comment on it if we can, you know, reach those snakehead anglers as well. So but we'll do what we can. We'll do what we can to get the information out. You know, we're not telling people how to vote or how to comment or what to comment on, but read what is written. Because as my example with the projectiles, and Eric, I think you should read that. You can go online and read it on MarylandHuntingQuarterly.com. It's on there. And then if you find a copy here next week somewhere, pick one up because it's right on the cover, Projectiles for Invasive Species. I think you'll find it interesting. So.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. I'll check it out. Yeah.
Yep.
Definitely.
So, yeah, I'll send that to the DNR folks as well. Let them pass it among themselves. So, but cool. So, what else do people need to know, Eric?
Well, just that we're taking comments. Some people may not like any of the three options,
right?
And that's fine. And we're taking comments on that too. They may not like any of the three options,
right?
And again, yeah, this is something, depending on which option you're looking at, it could help the yellow perch anglers in the winter and spring. It could help the folks that are using live minnows for snakeheads. But still, the overall original intention to protect striped bass and to basically use circle hooks to have more jaw hook fish that can be more easily released. Since 2019, we've been doing that, and that still remains in effect. At this point, you would still need to use circle hooks for rockfish.
Right.
but we're trying to open up other windows of opportunity for fishermen that are targeting other species.
Right.
And in particular, the yellow perch, where they can use the J-hook and not get a warning.
Got it.
So, you know, it's kind of, we're keeping the original intention to protect striped bass and catch and release mortality, but we're trying to, we're looking at some possible adjustments. That's what we're doing.
Okay. Eric, we have another caller here on the line.
Okay.
All right. So, Eric, are we going to have enough time for a break afterwards? Okay, great. Let's talk to Mark in Delaware. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning.
You're on with Eric Slokovich and me.
Yeah. Eric, I have and this is a very broad comment. I think the department is losing sight of its obligation to serve the public. I recognize you're trying to work among different species and protect them and everything else, but frankly, I'm a retired certified public accountant. More and more, your rules are beginning to sound like tax law with if this, if that, carve outs, loopholes. You're making it very difficult for the people who pay your salary, and there's got to be a way to serve the public while still protecting different species. I admire what you're trying to do, but I think the whole department, in fact, it's your whole government. You've lost sight of the fact that we don't exist to serve you. You exist to serve us.
Well, I definitely have been getting a lot of comments that the circle hook regulations are too complex, and I think they are very complex, and I'm all for simplifying things as much as possible. I guess at this point I can only really offer these three options, but I definitely understand there's a lot of concerns about these, about in particular with circle hooks and gear for live lining. It has become complicated. I'm hoping that we could find a way to streamline things. I think that's, yeah, and we're just trying to come up with some options. I appreciate your comment, and you can definitely comment online. We're taking any comments at this point.
Well, I appreciate your response. It's very measured, but that was my feeling is, government has a way of complicating things, and it's really offensive to the people who are paying their salaries.
Yeah, I understand, and this is one area where things...
Yep. I think what Mark is saying is, if it's not broke, don't fix it till it is.
That's excellent, Alan. Thank you.
Yeah, now we're talking about the size of minnows. We're talking about the species of minnows. We're talking about this time frame and that time frame and so forth, okay? And the circle hook thing is good because, you know, I'm friends with Rudy Lukakovich, who did the circle hook study and the catch and release study on the Susquehanna years and years ago, and we've published it. And he's commented on it and that type of thing. And they did find that circle hooks are, you know, less egregious to the fish. But when you say you got to use a circle hook, and a guy goes out there and he goes, well, you know, we're gonna cut up, alewives for bait, and we're gonna grind some up, we're gonna throw some over, but I got this little piece of chum. It doesn't quite fit on a 7-aught hook, so I'm gonna go to a number one. And he goes to a number one, he puts that piece on there, and man, a fish hits it, and he reels it in, and it's down the gullet. A striped bass can swallow a circle hook. There's no question that it can happen. I mean, Lee said he cuts them out of fish that he catches from time to time, which is okay. I got it. So the guidance should be Maryland Department of Natural Resources, Fisheries and Boating Services recommends... using a circle hook for striped bass larger than 5-aught or whatever number you pick to decrease mortality. But the other thing is, you know, people want to catch fish. They want to catch rockfish. They like catching fish. And it gets to the point where you're just, not you, Eric, this is not a personal thing, where, like Mark says, the regulations have become so mind-bending that you don't even know what to put in your tackle box anymore.
Right, and the tackle shops have the same concern because they're trying to figure out what their inventory is going to be.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then
nobody wants to go fishing with an encyclopedia to read about under the circumstances what am I allowed to do and having three options. It's just too complicated for the people you're trying to serve. There's got to be a better way.
Better marketing for one. I mean, that's the first place the budget gets cut. Hey, we need a poster to put up in the tackle shops. Okay, so the 20 guys in the tackle shop see that poster, you know, and they talk about it themselves, and 90% of the people don't see it. Hey, we need a, you know, this or that or something. You got to get the word out. Like in venues like this. This is a great venue to get the word out to people.
I agree, and I appreciate you posting the links, Alan. That's very helpful.
Sure.
Definitely.
But,
yeah.
But that's what you need. You know, you reached out to me, Eric, and gave me the information, and of course we had talked about it before. More than glad to welcome you on here, especially given the time frame for the public comments. But you've got some good public comments on this show. We only had two people that you've linked with, Mark and Lee, and you know, those are some of the public comments that, you know, people hear and understand, and I hope that the response is overwhelming. You know?
Yeah. I agree. And we're trying to narrow it down from the original three options into something maybe more concise. But first, we're just taking broad comments at this time.
Of course.
Yeah.
Of course.
Yep.
All right. Eric, thanks for joining us this morning. Mark, thanks for your comments. We have got to take care of our sponsors here as we go out. And, you know, anybody wants the information, simply email me. Just put hooks in the subject line, and I'll send you the email information. How's that sound? Anybody wants information on the Talisman Therapeutic Riding Rockfish Tournament, where the top rockfish wrangler can win $1,000? Also, email me. Just put rockfish tournament or something like that in the subject line. I will send you the poster, and you can go from there. Guys, appreciate it. Thank you, Mark. You have a great weekend. Eric, you have a great weekend as well. Hope we didn't wear you out too bad, buddy.
No, we're good. It honestly kind of flew by there. Filled the
it
whole
did,
house.
Didn't it?
So yeah, it did.
All right. Talk to you soon, Eric. Thank you.
All right. Take it easy. You're all.
You too. Bye bye. All right. Sorry about that, folks, but we do have to wrap up. Let's just go to all the commercials there, Aaron. And if we got any room at the end, we'll fill in with something.
Hey, if you know a lot about guns or not much but want to learn, Bel Air Gun Range provides a place to shoot, practice, and learn in a family-friendly environment, and you can make your selection from the showroom when you're ready to own a firearm. Now, at Bel Air Gun Range, the public indoor gun range is open 7 days a week with no membership fee required. Rental firearms are on hand. Bel Air Gun Range memberships are available to individuals, couples, and families on an annual basis. The gun range stocks handguns, rifles, and shotguns for shooting sports and competition, hunting and home protection, ammunition too. And Bel Air Gun Range buys, consigns, sells, and transfers new and used firearms. Bel Air Gun Range offers personal firearms classes with an NRA-certified instructor. HQL courses can be taken in a group or virtually from the convenience of your home. For more details about Bel Air Gun Range, services, sales, and classes, stop by 2137 North Fountain Green Road in Bel Air, Maryland, or visit the website belairgunrange.com. The phone number is 410-399-9518. That's 399-9518. Be safe, shoot, and have fun at Bel Air Gun Range.
Madonna Seafood is known for having the best crabs and seafood in Harford County. Madonna Seafood is just a quick scenic trip from Baltimore up to Laney Valley Road. Now, Madonna Seafood Carryout has delicious steamed crabs by the dozen to the bushel, great seafood, pizza, subs, Fisher's popcorn, and a whole lot more. Call into the carryout at 410-557-2722. That's 410-557-CRAB. The Donna Seafood Restaurant is a full-service casual dining restaurant with all-you-can-eat crabs in a quiet atmosphere with an extensive menu. Take exit 27B off the 695 Beltway. That's Delaney Valley Road North, Route 146. Turn left on Norrisville Road, and you've arrived at Madonna Seafood. Madonna Seafood, year-round crabs. 4105 Norrisville Road in Whitehall, Maryland. Madonna Seafood is open at 11 a.m. and closed Mondays. 410-557-CRAB, 2722, madonnaseafood.com.
Alan Ellis here for MilSpec Spray-On Truckliners. MilSpec Spray-On Truck Bedliners provide unmatched protection for your vehicle with the toughest bedliners on the market, and MilSpec liners support veterans and military families. Whether you're a hunter, a crabber, an angler, a contractor, a farmer, waterman, a weekend warrior, your MilSpec liner with a nationwide lifetime warranty protects your truck bed from scrapes and impacts no matter what your gear. Tree stands, tackle box, crab pots, any kind of tools. Have your MilSpec liner installed at Maryland Spray Linings. That's just off Security Boulevard, 2076 Lord Baltimore Drive in Windsor Mill. Call Jack Carver at 410-455-0800. That's 455-0800. Superior Linings and Truck Accessories, located off Ritchie Highway at 81 Dover Road in Glen Burnie. Call Bobby Hawkins at 410-789-0199. That's 789-0199. These MilSpec liner dealers can install any truck accessories, tonneau covers, step bars, toolboxes, truck hitches, and more. Schedule your appointment to have your truck protected with a MilSpec liner today.
Baltimore is listening to Talk Radio 680 WCBM and 99.9 FM in Harford County. And now, back to the Outdoorsman Radio Show with Alan and Robin Ellis.
Talk Radio 680 WCBM.
Hey, I wanted to remind you about our sponsor, Spurry's Tire Service, right here in Easton. You know, Spurry's has put tires on my truck. I don't need any right now, but we're glad to, when we need them, we're glad to send family members there. So Spurry's Tire Service, corner of Dover and Elliott Roads, just off Route 50. That's in Easton. That's where all the locals get their tires and auto service work done, no question. Any tire for any truck, any car, any make, any model. Spurry's Tire Service has any tire for your machine, any machine in your backyard or your barnyard, any of the...